From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The bard would have said, "Oh, how the worm has turned." And the great one, Jackie Gleason, would have said, "How sweet it is." I predicted that this entire political persecution, which was found to be no crime by the Federal Election Commission, found to be no crime by the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, found to be no crime by the New York State Attorney General, who ran for that office on the platform of indicting Donald Trump. Yet, the lowest court in the state, the Manhattan District Attorney, whose purview is simply the island of Manhattan, one of the five boroughs of New York City, he would bring the case in Manhattan District Court, one step above traffic court or small claims court. He found there were felonies there. Forget about the fact that he's lowering actual felonies, violent felonies, to misdemeanors, and letting people go, cashless bail, the whole deal. He's going to elevate what, at best, if it were even a crime, and again, found not to be a crime by the Mueller investigation, found not to be a crime by the FEC, found not to be a crime by the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, found not to be a crime by the New York State Attorney General. He would raise that alleged misdemeanor to felony status, make a name for himself, and keep his campaign promise, because he too ran on the platform of indicting Donald Trump. Remember, it's an article of faith among those mouth-breathing minions on the left. Those lemmings that listen to everything that MSLSD has to spew. The direct lies, okay, I mean, we have video footage directly contradicting the lies told, for example, by Joe Scarborough, who keeps intoning, "No one is above the law!" Joe, how did that intern end up dead under your desk? Huh? We never got to the bottom of that one, did we? Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney, he's the crusader. He's the one. You know, the left keeps saying, "We finally got that Trump now." And Alvin leaked it. He said, "Oh boy, we've got that Trump now." Well, as Dr. Jerome Corsi said on the show Monday night, Trump always looks like he's losing right up to the minute he wins. Alvin had to cancel today's grand jury assemblage. Grand jury did not meet today. Why? My guess, they were doing damage control in the Manhattan DA's office. Because lo and behold, he withheld hundreds of pages of exculpatory evidence from the grand jury. You know, the expression comes out of New York City jurisprudence that you can indict a ham sandwich. Doesn't take much to get an indictment. All you have to do is go in and lie to a grand jury. Lie by omission, mostly. Only the prosecution gets to tell its side of the story. The defendant does not get legal representation in the room. Defendant does not get to cross-examine witnesses. defendant does not get to tell his or her side of the story. It's a completely, grand juries are by design, a one-sided enterprise in which the task of the grand jury is to determine whether the facts are sufficient enough to warrant a trial, because we don't want to have trials willy-nilly, because trials are expensive. And that's what lawfare is, subjecting your opponent to the legal process, an attempt to eat out its sustenance. Lawyers are expensive. It's time-consuming. It's emotionally draining. You can indict a ham sandwich, it was said long ago. So getting an indictment's not that big a deal. But when you intentionally withhold over 600 pages of exculpatory evidence, what is exculpatory evidence? That's evidence showing that what you're alleging isn't true, that it isn't a crime. And here's just one page. A letter from Stephen Ryan, counsel for Michael Cohen, to the Federal Election Commission, Office of Complaints Examination and Legal Administration. I'm writing on behalf of my client, Michael D. Cohen, in response to your letter dated January 30th, 2018. This letter is dated February 8th, 2018. Specifically, this letter responds to the complaint, which was filed with the Federal Election Commission by Common Cause and Paul S. Ryan. In a private transaction in 2016 before the U.S. presidential election, Mr. Cohen used his own personal funds to facilitate a payment of $130,000 to Ms. Stephanie Clifford, also known as Stormy Daniels. Neither the Trump organization nor the Trump campaign was a party to the transaction with Ms. Clifford, and neither reimbursed Mr. Cohen for the payment directly or indirectly. Contrary to allegations in the complaint, which are entirely speculative, neither Mr. Cohen nor Essential Consultants LLC made any in-kind contributions to Donald J. Trump for President, Inc., or any other presidential campaign committee. Mr. Cohen has not been a government employee during any of the relevant time period. The payment in question does not constitute a campaign contribution or expenditure, and therefore, the FEC lacks jurisdiction over this matter. The complainants have not and cannot present any evidence to the contrary. Accordingly, the complaint should be dismissed. And it was dismissed. And that was Michael Cohen's own lawyer. And that is among the 600 pages of documents of exculpatory evidence that Alvin did not disclose to the New York grand jury. That is grounds for disbarment. Oh, how the worm has turned. How sweet it is. And away we go. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio? Do you think we're doing a good job? Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Get us the word out. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Breaking down the headlines.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This week, the United Kingdom announced that it would be providing tank ammunition containing depleted uranium to the Ukrainian armed forces, a decision that threatens to kick off World War III before the first shipment of shells ever arrive in Kyiv. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Ruckus Clark.
Howdy, Timothy. So this is a bit of a contentious story. Lots of debates coming from all angles here. So the British government's plans to send these depleted uranium shells to Kyiv for use in the conflict with Moscow, according to Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova, this is proof that, or shows at least, how the Western claims of caring about peace and the future of Ukraine are lies. Speaking to Radio Sputnik on Wednesday, she insisted that the statement by London is a sign of the, quote, absolute recklessness, irresponsibility, and impunity, end quote, of the U.S. and Britain when it comes to international affairs. She stressed that munitions containing depleted uranium are not only more powerful and have greater penetrating ability, but they also can contaminate the soil with radiation, delivering lasting damage to the environment and affect many generations of people living in the area. Zakharova said, quote, "Everything that we hear from these countries, the US and UK, about peace, the settlement of the conflict, the future of Ukraine, the well-being of the Ukrainian people, it's all a lie, falsehood, and absolute disorientation of the international community. In reality, the goal is completely different," end quote. After the UK announced plans to supply armor-piercing DU shells to the Kyiv government, quote, "There can't be any doubts that we're talking about, that we're talking, what we're talking about is the strongly pronounced intention of the collective West, headed by the US, Britain, to see Ukraine completely destroyed," end quote, according to Zakharova. On Monday, the official news is that Annabel Goldie, the UK Minister of State for Defense, said that, quote, "Alongside our granting of a squadron of Challenger 2 main battle tanks to Ukraine, we will be providing ammunition, including armor-piercing rounds which contain depleted uranium," end quote. Purportedly, according to the official, such ammunition should be sent to Kyiv because it is highly effective, and quoting here, in defeating modern tanks and armored vehicles. However, Zakharova said that the announcement by Goldie is, quote unquote, "yet another British provocation, which is aimed at escalating the conflict in Ukraine to a new level." She suggested it's no coincidence these announcement was made during the visit of Chinese President Xi Jinping to Moscow for talks with Putin. The rounds containing depleted uranium are actually, quote, "weapons of mass destruction with a nuclear component," the spokeswoman insisted, adding that, quote, "the WMD issue is part of Anglo-Saxon logic of destabilizing the global international situation," end quote. She recalled how Washington's unsubstantiated claims that the government of Saddam Hussein had been in possession of weapons of mass destruction became a pretext for the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. She also noted that NATO had used munitions with depleted uranium during its bombing of Yugoslavia in 1999. And Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko today, who is a close ally of Putin, waded into the discussion, calling the plan madness. And more so, according to Reuters, Lukashenko told reporters that if the UK does indeed supply Ukraine with the DU ammunition, Russia would respond by giving Belarus ammo with, quote, "real uranium," end quote. So there you go, Timothy.
Well, we all know my hot take from the beginning, and it hasn't changed one bit. Putin might not be a good guy, but he's not the bad guy here. I am not supporting the Nazi regime in Ukraine, despite the fact that I have now permanently lost my Facebook account for calling out the Nazis in Ukraine. That's right. An anti-Nazi post got me permanently banned from Facebook. They're relying on bad science because, again, if people in the media are talking about science, you can guarantee that they're lying to you, because people hear something sciencey and their eyes glaze over and they say, oh, the experts must know what they're talking about. Depleted uranium is actually less radioactive than natural uranium. And the reason they use it in shells, anti-tank shells, is because it has a way higher density even than lead. It's extremely dense. And as a projectile, it's very efficient at defeating armor-plated tanks. Oh, and by the way, Adam, guess what those armor plates in the tanks are made out of?
Depleted uranium.
So it's using bad science to make a very good political argument. These shells aren't going to pollute the Ukraine environment. This isn't an indication of the U.S. and the U.K. really hating the Ukraine people and wanting to pollute their environment. No. What this is using science to make, using bad science to make a good political argument. If you want proof of how much the United States hates Ukraine, you need look no further than the 2014 color revolution that our CIA ran there, and all the money laundering that the Bidens and the other Democrats have run through there, and probably some Republicans too. then the FTX money laundering of our donations to Ukraine, federal tax dollars to Ukraine, that Ukraine used to buy FTX cryptocurrency, that FTX then donated back to Democrats and some GOP Republicans. You need look no further than all the lies that our media have been telling. If everything we've heard about the war in Ukraine is true, how come every piece of video and every still photograph we've seen from the quote-unquote war is proven to be false, proven to be real, but not from this conflict, from years ago, or from a different country entirely, or from a video game in the instance of the remarkable footage of the ghost of Kyiv defending the skies of Ukraine against Russian MiGs that turned out to be from a video game. So I agree that we shouldn't be sending these anti-tank shells to Ukraine, but not because they're radioactive. They're actually less radioactive than the rocks that real uranium comes from. And I like the threat that Putin made in response. Oh, you want to use uranium? We're going to use nuclear-tipped weapons. How about that? So, you know, I love the response. And again, I think this is a regional border conflict that the world has no business being in. But because we've used Ukraine as our slush money cutout, and because we're using them in a proxy against Putin, that's why we're doing it. This is no different than what the Third Reich, this Fourth Reich, is doing nothing different in Ukraine than the Third Reich did, which is to try to get at Russia's natural resources. And we're doing it politically instead of with the Wehrmacht. And even now, they've decided to go to the Wehrmacht option. So I think this is, could be a tipping point, Adam.
Yep, well said. And I'm glad that you pointed out that bit about the science, because I, like most people, assumed through most of my life, thanks to mainstream media and faulty science, that the depleted uranium was responsible for Gulf War syndrome. But apparently in 2021, science, real science, conclusively ruled that out as a cause. That was thanks to researchers at the University of Portsmouth. You can look that up, folks.
And there you have it, another great story from Adam Ruckus Clark. Tune in tomorrow for yet another installment of News You Can Use on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Rick Munn.
If you want to get educated, you come here. You don't go to university. That will turn your brain into mush. How do I know that? Because I went for 3 years. And trust me, when I came out, my brain was mush. And it's still mush. So if I were you people and you have kids, don't push them down the educational route. Tell them to learn to trade. Tell them to learn to plaster, to paint and decorate, to garden, to do something productive with their hands. Don't rack up student debt, because the world is going to hell in a handcart, and all they'll be done is saddled with tens of thousands of pounds of debt in a crashing economy, lack of jobs, mass unemployment, and they will not thank you for that one little jot. That's my theory for the future, because if you're relying on the man to pay your wages, and I don't mean a male, I'm talking about the man in inverted commas, or the woman for any of you feminists out there that are getting offended. The person, let's call it that, they, them, he, she, it, ze, zim, ping, quasi, quartang, whatever pronouns you want to use. Be self-sufficient, people. Be self-sufficient. That is the message of the hour.
He's locked and loaded. Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing. We can build that. Sustainable housing. We can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
U.S. intelligence agencies are interfering in domestic politics. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Folks, you know I use humor to make my points, in part because when people are laughing, their minds are much more receptive to new information, but mostly because of the absurdity of the false narratives and government absurdities that we're facing. My guest tonight knows this full well. Brian McWilliams is a native Philadelphian, currently deep behind enemy lines in Los Angeles. He's a communications and public relations expert, but also a comedian and a writer. And his passion and concern for liberty was awakened during Ron Paul's 2008 campaign, which exposed the troubling initiatives our government was embracing, which infringed on the tenets upon which the United States was founded. Brian is a host and producer of Mean Age Daydream, the Lions of Liberty Network's weekly Wednesday look at current events, culture, and comedy through a liberty lens. Welcome back to The Reckoning, Brian McWilliams.
Thank you for having me back. You know, speaking of comedy, I was cracking up just because I was listening to your previous segment, which, by the way, great segment. I completely agree with everything you said about the entire relationship between Russia, Ukraine, what's going on. But I just had to laugh because you did this impression. You said depleted uranium. And the way you said depleted uranium was, you know, a good point about the shell, you know, the shells being equal to the armor on the cars. It sounded exactly like Kermit the Frog, and it just had me cracking up because depleted uranium. I couldn't help myself. I was sitting here laughing, trying to get it together before the segment started.
I do that to Adam quite a bit too. In my intros, he can't start the intro because he's laughing so hard. He can't start the story because my intro had him laughing so hard.
It got me, man. So yeah, thank you for having me back. It's wonderful to be here with you and excited to chat.
Had to have you back, man, because this things are so crazy. All you can do is laugh, right? If we weren't laughing, we'd be taking the gas pipe. So we might as well laugh.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. I mean, every single thing that goes on a daily basis, it's almost like, you know, the left goes to Twitter to get outraged about something. I go to Twitter to laugh every day because anything that comes down on Twitter is so comedically inept, whether it's government, whether it's politics, whether it's the justice system. What's going on with Trump right now is so ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if you saw this, but with Trump's indictment, New York City had all these cops, you know, getting ready for riots and putting up barriers, right? And I'm thinking, in New York City, downtown, is Juicy Smollett going to be leading the riots? Like, no one's going to be out there 1,000 strong over this. Like, what are you talking about? Just ridiculous.
They called in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. There's tax money we're never going to get back.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, to your point, the absurdity that faces us on a daily basis on what's prioritized in media coverage on social media, what gets amplified. You can't write sillier things. And that's where we are as a society.
I've said before, it's like we've got a little view into the writer's room at the Weekly World News. Remember Weekly World News?
Bat Boy.
The grocery store tabloid. My favorite was a picture of the moon. And the story was that the moon was actually the skull of a monster alien that was about to eat the Earth before it got killed.
Prove it's wrong. Prove it's wrong.
You know that chemical enhancements are used in that room to develop these stories. And that's almost like a Democrat strategy session, right? And it's not just Twitter. Did you see this therapist named Zach who created a TikTok profile? And it's he created a TikTok profile at Therapist Zach. Write it out and look at it and tell me what it says. At Therapist Zach.
@therapistEd. This is a Twitter profile. This is, I mean, I follow several.
No, it's a TikTok profile. It's a TikTok profile, but it's @therapistZach. So everybody write it out now and you tell me what it says. @therapistZach.
Yeah. That's a great old, that's like an SNL joke.
Right?
The pen is lighter and the rapist.
And now he's done his video saying, and I'm stuck with this for 30 days because they only let you change your name once every 30 days. And he's got this voice like that, right? It's like, dude, and now everybody's calling him out saying he did it on purpose just to go viral, which he probably did.
If he did, I give him all the credit in the world. I mean, it's like one of those
props,
things.
Massive props.
Right. I mean, look, you know the game. You know the rules of the game. You took advantage of the rules. Good.
Don't hate
you,
the
man.
Player. Yep. Yep. But his next job, if it wasn't intentional, if it was truly ineptitude, his next job would be a senior Democrat strategist.
Oh, of course. Mostly to people named Zach who are excited for the opportunity to be therapists.
Right. You know, it's just it's unbelievable. It's almost like somebody fails and they come back to the writer's room. And they say, well, nobody's ever going to beat that failure. And somebody else says, hold my beer, you know, because here comes the new Biden policy.
It is. You know, it's funny you talk about failing up because what is it? Jacinda Ardern, I think, is the New Zealand prime minister, right?
Yeah. She's former
prime minister of New Zealand, right? Oversaw one of the worst COVID policies. You know, it locked down the entire nation of New Zealand, still had outbreaks, didn't do anything, completely, abdicated her responsibility for individual liberties in every way. And yet, now that she is out of there, she is now up for the job of, I think, policing censorship and free speech and disinformation on a worldwide level. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah, exactly.
You constantly fail up if you're on the left.
You really are, and we're going to talk more about that after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
What a news day this is turning out to be.
Let's finish it.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping are facing criticism over their reference to the UN Charter and their joint remarks on the Ukraine war, following their two-day talks in Moscow that ended on Tuesday. Switzerland's government said Tuesday it's ordering Credit Suisse to temporarily suspend bonuses for employees after orchestrating a plan for the number two Swiss bank to be taken over by rival UBS.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
The Kennedy School at Harvard University has made its bones as being a place where failed Republican establishment and Democrat politicians go after they've failed, right? Dukakis went there, got a what do they call it? Not a professorship, but a whatever, you know, they're in residence, right? They get a sinecure, basically. It's like, okay, we're going to feed you some of the slush money to keep you alive after you just got your butt kicked in the polls. Until you figure out your next grift. So come here to Harvard and teach for a year. So who better, right? Who better to teach aspiring politicians and future bureaucrats? Because that's basically who goes to the Kennedy School of Government, right? You go to the Kennedy School of Government to get a master's in public administration so you can learn how to be a faceless bureaucrat. It's a senior level. And make a six-figure grift instead of a five-figure grift and get a seven-figure kiss in the mail, which is what we call a state or federal pension in Massachusetts, the kiss in the mail. So you know, Harvard University, there are all these think tanks. Oh, I just lost the worst. I just finished last in the Democrat primary that elected a guy who didn't come out of his basement. So I'm going to go and I'm going to work for Brookings Institution. But it's this huge pile of money. It's just this huge pool of money that just sloshes around between government and big corporations and NGOs and failed politicians. And it's the biggest con in the history of the world.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of cash is a circulatory environment, right? You think about what goes on between the White House, the media, and then academia, right? It is, and I know, started doing this actually in the Bush era because I started paying attention to it back then. But yeah, the rotating, I guess, basically the rotation between the same number of people just interchangeably swapping in between government, education, and then, as you said, NGOs, because that's the next big thing, right? Is these NGOs that are started, these think tanks, which only are
public-private partnerships. Another name for that is fascism, folks.
Right, exactly, because they only exist to rubber stamp the existing policies of the people that put them in place. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then they're used as a reference. It's almost as like if you and I started an NGO that was just to promote the Timothy Shea show on TNT radio, and it existed, you know, outside of the government, but yet tied closely. We raised money on charitable effects. We didn't have to pay taxes, but yet all it does is promote our agenda to wake the people up. And in fact, we should probably start this. We'll talk off air. But point being,
you know, Brian, it's almost like if you leaked a story about a Russian dossier to Yahoo News, and then you went to the FISA court to get a warrant because the Russian dossier story was true because Yahoo News reported it as being true.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That would never happen, though, would it?
I've never heard of such a thing. Never heard of such a thing. It's like it reminds me of the Woody Harrelson pitch on SNL about the COVID regime. You never believe such a movie story. But yeah, right? It is the most incestuous Ouroboros that exists only to perpetuate itself and rubber stamps. But like we were talking about earlier when we talked about science and the Scientology, not the religion, but the Scientology that's out in the media of believe the experts. We're told these people are experts. We're told that they, you know, they rubber stamp every war we want to get into, every policy we want to enter into, every, you know, even getting to the activism space. The left has their own NGO space for this thing, you know, to tell you that 60% of women will be raped on campus. Literally anything you want to tell the public that you want to get support for, that you want to pass a bill for, you can create one of these organizations to make sure the public will believe you. And it'll look so good on paper and it'll have a fancy designed logo. And God bless it, won't it be fantastic? But at the end of the day, it's the same people that just were, you know, in the back rooms 2 years ago, 3 years ago in government or academia or whoever it might be.
Exactly. You know, with regard to Jacinda, has she dropped that New Zealand accent and started to adopt a little bit of a German accent? You know, because now that she's going global, we have ways of making you comply.
I like to think that all these people's Jiminy Cricket, you know, the little cricket that's your moral values. It's all to these people. It's all Third Reich Hitler voice.
Right.
Doing the right thing. Please continue. Don't worry. There's no moral comprehension here. You have to be concerned about. and then he whistles a little song. You know, it's like Hitler sings a little song. He's like, what you're doing is so great. Don't worry if you want to be people's lives. You know, well, anyway.
Springtime for Hitler, baby. It's almost as if, right, in Animal House, you know how the girl passes out and then you had the angel on one shoulder devil on the other shoulder. It's almost as if these people have, like, two devils. One's maybe not so bad. I think we can get this through legislatively. And the other devil saying, screw it, just do it, ask permission, ask for forgiveness later.
I agree. It's they have the devil of the lobbyists on one shoulder, right? That's telling them, hey, follow the money. Yeah. And then they have the devil of the WEF on the other shoulder saying, hey, follow all the elites. You're going to get elevated to this position where you never have to work again. You get to go to orgies every night. It's devil on devil action, baby.
Speaking of Nazis, how about Klaus Schwab? Could you come up with a better caricature? It's like, it's honestly like we're living out a Saturday Night Live skit for reals. If you wanted, I mean, it's like they went to central casting and saying, okay, I need a Nazi looking old guy that will run this global organization that's going to infiltrate every government at a senior level and get them all to do his bidding. Who you got? Oh, I got this guy. Klaus is perfect for the job.
Oh, and not only that, but how about just like in every James Bond film, Klaus Schwab, you know, at the end of the James Bond films, the evil guy always tells Bond exactly what the evil plan is. Klaus Schwab literally does that at every meeting. Yeah. I mean, to your point, we know that they have people at every level of government because they tell us to our faces that they put them there through their programs. It's like, God, keep it to yourself until you kill me with the laser, at least, Klaus.
No, don't. I'm glad. This is like a Batman episode, right? Where the Joker, the Penguin takes so long to explain this elaborate mechanism for killing Batman that has created that Batman has time to extricate himself from the difficulty. Keep telling us, Klaus. We'll keep pushing back. It's like if you had a big bingo card, right? If you had Canadian truckers and Dutch farmers. Who had Canadian truckers? Who had Dutch farmers on their bingo card? But seriously, they keep trying to stamp it out. And it's like what Jeff Goldblum said in the first Jurassic Park. Remember when he was talking about the technology that they had used, the recombinant DNA that they went into a piece of amber, into a mosquito, and got some blood that had come from a dinosaur, and they put it into amphibian cells, and they created the new dinosaurs. His line was, life will find a way. Well, liberty will find a way. They can't stamp it out. It's good. Every time they try, it's like trying to squeeze. What was that stuff called? Slime. Remember slime came in a little garbage pail? You squeeze it, and no matter how you try to compress it, it always squeezes through your fingers or whatever. Well, that's liberty. It's always going to rise up. I want to talk more about that after the break. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
What's going on with the National Hockey League? Remember when it was discovered that the league placed an online ad inviting people to attend an event in Florida during the All-Star break, but white people were not listed along with other demographics? They said it was a mistake. Then there are the various NHL teams who celebrate Pride Night, complete with rainbow-colored practice jerseys and tape on their sticks. And there's been some pushback on that front. Philadelphia Flyers player Ivan Provorov refused to participate using his Russian Orthodox religion as the reason. Both the Rangers and the Minnesota Wild had Pride Nights planned, but they were both canceled without explanation. The latest pushback comes from San Jose Sharks goalie James Reimer. He chose not to be a part of this past Saturday's festivities, citing his Christian faith. He said, I have no hate in my heart for anyone, and I've always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. But he said, the highest authority in his life is the Bible, and that's why he wasn't participating. Good for him! Hey, NHL, why can't you just live and let live without forcing players to bow down and offer a stamp of approval to that lifestyle? Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Interview conducted at 10:15. Present are Sergeant Jones, PC Clough, Mr. Wall, an uninsulated cavity wall, and his solicitor, Mr. Bent. Do you understand the charges?
I shall be speaking for Mr. Wall on account of him being a pile of bricks.
Right, you're accused of wasting energy, Mr. Wall, and we've got concrete evidence. We know that unfilled cavity walls are responsible for up to a third of all home energy wastage.
We also believe you're involved in a fencing operation.
We're going to throw the book at you.
Okay. Mr. Wall would like to say, ouch.
It's criminal to waste energy. To find out how to save up to 25% off your heating bills, visit saveenergy.co.uk or call 0845 727 7200.
Political neutrality. Not with Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Brian, every attempt to conquer the world in human history, whether it be from Alexander the Great to Adolf Hitler to Lenin, Marx, Khrushchev, Joe Stalin, the Soviet regime, they've all fallen under their own weight. And I've got to believe this WEF globalist effort, which, as I said, has infiltrated almost every government at the very highest levels, the majority of Justin Castro's cabinet in Canada are WEF controlled, as is he's a Klaus Schwab puppet. The United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, other countries, the United States, all filled with WEF grads. And it looks like he might be winning. But I've got to believe, like I said, liberty always finds a way. Liberty will always rise up. Every single dictator, every single would-be dictator has fallen. And I've got to believe the current regime is going to fall too. What say you?
I completely agree. You know, I actually try to stay very positive on a lot of this stuff. And lately, a lot of what I've been looking at and thinking about is how we getter information, how the government tries to control narratives, how the mainstream media is so tied in with this method of control. You know, one real truth, one real message, one real, you know, whether it's something that's climate related, whether it's something that's war related, it's always this divisive method to control you through fear, right? That's the primary motive.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing more often than anything now, and this is also in talking to some of the people that I know, you know, my friends' children, is that one of the benefits of our decentralized information flow right now is that so much of what's going on, whether it's Klaus Schwab, whether it's, you know, what's going on in the United States with Biden's agenda, you're seeing the decentralization of information and how people are getting it and how people are finding the cracks in the armor in every single narrative that's being put out there. Now, I'm not saying that all this information is 100% accurate, right? But then again, none of what we get from the mainstream media is either, to equal it out.
That's why we got a thing called discernment.
Yep, exactly. Well, and critical thinking, which they're trying their best to destroy in our public schools. But that's a whole other topic we could get into.
Oh, that's a whole show, but, brother.
Oh, I mean, it's ridiculous. But my point is, the way in which people imbibe their information, their media, and the next generation, which is really what matters, right? When we talk about it, the old guard's going to be gone. The Pelosi's of the world are going to be gone. Biden might be gone next week. Who knows? But the next generation, they're smarter than we give them credit for. We want to bash them. We want to talk about how they have no attention span. But I'll tell you what, TikTok's probably providing those people with better information than a lot of what we get. Facebook, Twitter, especially now with Elon Musk, it's revolutionizing how people are getting that information. And it is allowing them to discern what they want to make of their reality. It allows them to pick and choose the information that they want to put together to comprehensively present themselves with what is truth or is not. And that's something that is revolutionary. And we should be super excited about when we talk about facing these elites and these intergovernmental organizations.
Oh, and I am. And let's face it, the millennials are a lost generation. These are the people in their 30s and 40s now. They're mouth-breathing MSLSD morons, and they believe everything their TV tells them. It's unbelievable. But their children, this Gen Z coming up, the teenagers and people in their 20s, they're our hope, because there are so many that see the BS, right? They had their high school senior season that they worked for 3 years, and they were going to be the league MVP. Uh-uh, not you, kid. It's what Jimmy Carter did to the 1980 athletic team, but generationally. Not just the Olympic team, not just those that were going to go to the Olympics, but every single high school athlete that worked hard. I remember being a high school athlete in senior season. That was your time to shine, right? And if you were good enough, that was your time to get a scholarship. And those kids, the scholarships they lost, the proms they didn't have, the senior class days they didn't have, all those things, it woke a lot of them up. Woke an awful lot of them up. In the largest audience on the planet is Joe Rogan's. Okay, you can take NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News, put them together, and they don't come close to Rogan's viewership. And he said recently that it's because of this decentralized information flow. That's how we're going to win. He said that's the most important factor right now, which is why they're trying so hard. I've had 4 Twitter accounts, 3 of them shut down. Luckily, you can find me, The Reckoning TNT, still there, but they just permanently nuked my Facebook account. Apparently, they don't give a 30-second, 30-day ban. Who knew?
Right.
And why was I banned? Because I called out the Nazis in Ukraine. I can't think of a better way to go out. I posted a picture of Ukrainians with Ukraine flags with the Nazi logo, the Thunderbolt logo of the Azov Battalion superimposed. I posted pictures of that. I posted a picture of them giving the Heil Hitler salute, and they permanently banned me for calling out Nazis. It's like, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad it wasn't for Hunter and his tidy whities and the red scarf, which got me 2 of my 30-day bans. But this is the insanity we're facing. You want to shut me up? Great. I'm very thankful to Mike Ryan and TNT Radio for keeping this microphone open.
Yeah, amen. And you know what? It's also that a lot of these kids are so, you know, they're on social media. They see the bans happening. They see it in real time. But also there's an overarching theme here too, which is that the left has dominated culture so long. I mean, there's a reason all this ultra woke stuff is happening. The trans movement is happening. You know, there's a reason all these things are pushed forward as hard as they are. And it's because of the dominance of the left in culture for the last 40 years. That
in lockstep with the politicians. Yeah,
completely, completely. But that's the thing is now these people think that they're still hashtag resisting. But to the next generation coming up, their resistance is to the left. It is to the dominant culture. I mean, counterculture right now is not, hey, we're going with Black Lives Matter, where everybody become trans and use the same bathrooms. The counterculture movement is, hey, you took away our rights. You took away our liberties. We see you canceling people. We see you censoring free speech. We see what's happened with our, you talk about high school sports. We see our scholarships being taken away from our women. And for what? For, you know, for this tiny segment of the population, and we're being told that this is all for the greater good. No, we're counterculture revolutionaries now, and counterculture revolution means going back to individual rights, individual liberties, and sanity and free speech. And I'm telling you, these they are leaning into it hard. I have more hope than for this country than I've had in 20 years right now.
Well, Sex Pistols frontman Johnny Rotten said, I never thought I'd live to see the day when the right wing would become the cool ones, giving the middle finger to the establishment, both hands, baby, and the left wing becomes the sniveling, self-righteous, twatty ones going around shaming everyone. Okay, that's absolutely right. We are the counterculture.
I hate to interrupt you, but I got to point this out because it was just trending on Twitter the other day, and because anything with K-pop, these Korean pop bands, trends on Twitter. Yep. I don't know why. I don't like it, but it does. And but this one I took note of, one of these Korean pop band stars, a girl, a Chiang, I'm going to completely butcher her name. She was wearing a Johnny Rotten shirt, and she had also been on stage wearing a QAnon centric shirt. She was in a Johnny Rotten shirt, though, with him wearing the Action Man swastika shirt, which was, you know, just counterculture, you know, whatever. Screw you. Yeah. And what you think about me is screw you for trying to censor me. She wore it and got all this backlash. But it goes to show you that if she understands what it is, and I think she does, she's leaning into it and saying, screw you. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to say what I want. And how dare you try to censor me?
Well, they are. And so are artists like Tom McDonald and Burden and Zuby.
Oh, I love
Tom. We're starting to be the counterculture. And those guys, look, we're a couple of white guys, right? And we might be funny now and again, but kids are going to look at us like a couple of dorks. But Zuby and Tom McDonald with his Post Malone face tattoos, and Burden with, you know, his beautiful freestyle raps, those guys can break through and give the message. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you're going to see that not only in music, I think you're going to see it in art. I know there's a lot of comic books coming out. I mean, Eric Chalai, not that he's a young buck, but he's got this whole Ripaverse comic line coming out, which is, you know, liberty-centric comics that aren't woke. They're just giving people what they want. I mean, this is why one of the things I do, you mentioned I'm a writer, is trying to write screenplays and try to get them sold out so that we can change the dynamic of what's going on in the entertainment space. And I think what Ben Shapiro is doing, love Ben or hate Ben, what he's doing by creating a new paradigm in the entertainment world where you can have non-leftist voices is important. Yeah. And it's also going to push that window back. It's going to push people away from this woke content and back into what is, you know, just let's just sit down and enjoy a good story and let's not shame each other over what we're watching.
Well, and guys like my friends Chris Burgard, Nick Searcy, people like that coming out with movies. Oh, Gina Carano, you're going to be dropped by Disney here. Come star in our movie, right?
Right.
And guess what? Hollywood's finally waking. Oh, so wait a second. Those people got how many downloads? How many people saw that movie? And now they're trying to do it. And of course, they don't do it right. It's clear pandering when they try to do it. But what it does is it enables people that know how to do it, like Chris and Nick and Daily Wire and other people that actually great production values, great scripts, great acting, great direction, great photography. It makes it easier for them to get money. Because proof of principle, Hollywood's trying to do it and they can't. Give us the money, we'll make the movie and we'll actually get the audience and it'll be a high quality product.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm also hoping that it also pushes Hollywood away from this concept, and they did it through the Academy and what can and can't win awards even, to these checkboxes where you have to have, you know, X number of diverse people and black people and gay people and all those other things to make a movie qualify for the Academy Awards. All that's doing is taking a massive talent pool out of the equation, especially for independent films, right? I mean, if you're shooting in the middle of Indianapolis with $1 million budget, you can't fly in, I don't know, 18 Eskimo lesbians to appear in your film. It's not going to happen. So get back to making films with people that have talent instead of focusing on diversity and equity. And we're only going to hire people for the writer's room that are of a certain segment of the population, which is 10% of the overall. And within that 10%, you're going to hire 1%. So now what are you talking about mathematically? You know, you're saying you're hiring the best of the best, but you're hiring, you know, at best, I don't know, the top 20%.
Well, and a serious note, I had Josh Yoder on the show a couple months ago. And folks, if you want to go back and listen to shows, go to tntradio.live, and all the shows are archived. So if you missed a show, either this show or one of our other presenters, or you've got somebody you really like, but they're at 3 a.m., you don't have to listen to it live. Go in and listen to the podcast on Podbean or iTunes or iHeartRadio or right on the tntradio.live website. And Josh was saying, Brian, that they're doing it with pilots, that there's one guy that they hired who's completely unqualified. They hired him for DEI reasons. Took him 40 hours to get through the 3-hour basic course. And this is a guy that they're going to give a 737 to. I mean, come on. This is life and death here. And if you want a real-world example of what intersectionality failure looks like, you need to look no further than the Biden administration. Not one single person was hired because of their competence, whether it's the secretary of the Department of Transportation, whether it's the assistant undersecretary for health, or whether it's the White House spokes idiot herself. They were hired because of their intersectionalities. I said to a friend earlier today, because there's been a lot of pushback, finally, by women against these men competing in their sports and going up for the rewards and whatnot. I said, you know, for example, at the NCAAs this year, at the women's NCAA swimming championship for the 50 meter free, they ought to all get on the blocks. And when this dude from UPenn gets up on the blocks, they ought to all go down just like they're going to start. And when the gun goes off, they ought to all stand up and walk off the blocks and leave that chump swimming in the pool by himself. Don't even compete against him, because like when you're given a question that's a gotcha question, the best thing to do is not answer it, not play into the game. Well, that's what these women need to start doing. You want to put a guy in the basketball court? Good. The other team needs to just walk off, forfeit the game. Let them play with themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, speaking of reckonings, of course, the name of your show, when you talk about that issue with the trans thing too, I saw a story today, and I think this is going to be the first of many in a pushback against what's going on with people transitioning, is that you're seeing the first wave of lawsuits now come out from children that
That's what this conversation stemmed from. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, propagandized medical malpractice, academia, what's going on there, the entertainment complex, all these people pushing this. And of course, the White House and the Biden administration, we support affirmative care. You're seeing now those kids that were 11, 12, 13 that had, you know, these surgeries, that were mutilated, that were given hormones, that can no longer have a life that they should have been entitled to. You're seeing them come of age, and they are going to come for blood. And you're seeing first wave of lawsuits right now suing doctors out of Kaiser Permanente. That's the lawsuit today. But it's going to go throughout everything because, well, God.
And suing the parents now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this is nothing more than Munchausen by proxy. All these women that are so excited that their toddler is trans. Okay. You're an evil woman. You need to not have custody of that child.
Yep. It's a way to get attention like anything else. I mean, especially in the era of social media, half of these trans issues within young girls are social media contagion. It's a way to get attention. It's a way to get sympathy. It's a way to promote your social media status. It's the same for these millennial moms. We talk about that being the worst generation. They are in that jet stream of egomaniacal social media activism. And, you know, there's always that joke about white women being the worst thing for humanity. And, you know, that falls into a lot, your Democratic white women, let's say. And that falls into this heavily, too. It is the ultimate virtue signal. It is the ultimate kudos and pats on the back and sympathy. And you're the center of everybody's book club. And it's going to be horrible outcomes.
And they're running out of cucks to Harry. So men are with substance are going to other countries to find normal, beautiful, intelligent, strong women who aren't insane. And do you know what the new pushback is? Those men are predators.
They're just looking for some submissive, stupid woman that they can control.
Like, no, they're healthy men that want to have healthy children.
Right, exactly. Well, I look forward to the next episode of 90 Day Fiancé, where this is like everybody goes abroad. I don't know if you're familiar with that show. Very entertaining.
I'm not, but but I love the concept already. Okay, you gotta you can find a wife, but you can't be from a Western democracy. I love it.
Well, it's like it's the K-1 visa thing. So they go over, they meet these women online. Half of them are catfish. That's the entertainment of the show. They go meet these women online, fly across or fly them over, and then they have 90 days to decide whether to marry them or not. And you know what? Usually I thought, hey, this is crazy. Why would you marry somebody after 90 days? But with what we're talking about here, you're probably not going to do
any
better domestically.
90 days is kind of a long time. People used to get married, right? I'm going into World War II next week. You want to get married? Sure. And guess what? They ended up being married for 70 years. I can't wait for the next time that Brian McWilliams is on The Reckoning. Great time
marry
as always,
me,
Brian. We need some laughter, brother. You're welcome back. I look forward to having you back soon. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.